भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके मूकं गलति वाचालं पिङ्गलं हृते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनधारणं श्रीपरमानन्दमाधवम् So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 4, text 70. Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni. Tapo vidya cha vipranam Nisraya svakare ubhe Deva Durmini Durvinitasya Kalpete Karturanyatha Tapa, austerities, Vidya, knowledge, Cha, also, Vipranam, of the Brahmanas, Nisrayasya, of what is certainly very auspicious for upliftment, kare or causes, uve, both of them, te, such austerity and knowledge, eva, indeed, dirvinitasya, when such a person is an upstart, Kalpete, become, kartu, of the performer, anyatha, just the opposite. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. For a Brahman, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious. But when acquired by a person, who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Purport. It is said that a jewel is very valuable, but when it is on the hood of a serpent, it is dangerous despite its value. Similarly, when a materialistic non-devotee achieves great success in learning and austerity, the success is dangerous for all of society. So-called learned scientists, for example, invented atomic weapons that are dangerous for all humanity. It is therefore said, Manina Bhusita Sarpa Kima Savuna Vayankara. A serpent with a jewel on its hood is as dangerous as a serpent without such a jewel. Durvasa Muni was a very learned Brahman equipped with mystic power. But because he was not a gentleman, he did not know how to use his power. He was therefore extremely dangerous. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never inclined towards a dangerous person who uses his mystic power for some personal desire. By the laws of nature, therefore, such misuse of power is ultimately dangerous, not for society, but for the person who misuses it. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Sivakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sakradatam Sagana Raghunatha Nitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Visakhanitamsa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusate Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataro Vesha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namam 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 Avadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurate Se Namam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Tapo vidyacha vipranam nisrayasa kareuve teva dhanvi nitasya kalpete kartuvanyata. So here in this verse, the Supreme Lord is telling Durvasa Muni that how the same learning and austerity, which is beneficial for a human being, is very dangerous when someone is not very humble. Means when someone is very proud. So as we know that Durvasa Muni, who was very austere and also very learned, that's why he had acquired some mystic powers. So he had offended Maharaj Ambarish because he was thinking that Maharaj Ambarish was a Kshatriya, bereft of knowledge and austerity, and he was enjoying the opulence of the kingdom. So he considered himself better than Maharaj Ambarish, and with this slight discrepancy in the part of Maharaj Ambarish, because he drank some water before offering anything to Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni became very furious, because that was actually the necessity of the time and place when Maharaj Ambarish had to break the fast, break the Ekadasi fast through Parana. But since Durvasa Muni had arrived as a guest in his palace, and he also wanted to offer him something, but Durvasa Muni went to take bath first in Yamuna, and the time was passing away, so Ambarish Maharaj consulted with the Brahmins, and instead of eating any grain, he just took some water, just to break the fast. Because in those times, Ekadasi fast meant to fast completely, even from water. So by drinking some water, the fast will be broken. That was the idea. So generally when people do Nirjala Ekadasi, they fast break with water and then with some grain. So Ambarish Maharaj only take the water offered to Lord Vishnu with tulsi in it. So he just drank that just to break the fast. So drinking water would not mean eating. That's why he thought Durvasa Muni would not be offended. But Durvasa Muni, he understood that Maharaj Ambarish has taken some water, and he became very furious that he thought this king, because of his opulence, he had become very proud of his position. And without caring for him, now he has taken water without offering him anything. So he considered Maharaj Ambarish as a very proud person, though it was just the opposite. Because Maharaj Ambarish was a great devotee of the Lord, who had engaged all of his senses in the service of the Lord. Even he was not so careful about his kingdom, though he was the emperor of the whole world. And because of this, Lord Vishnu had given him his own Sudarshan disc to protect Maharaj Ambarish and his kingdom. Because he was completely absorbed in the service of Lord Vishnu. So he was the most humble person as a devotee of the Lord. But Durvasa Muni thought that Maharaj Ambarish was very proud of his position, so he did not care about Durvasa Muni, and without offering him anything, he just drank water. Though it was actually opposite, that Durvasa Muni was very proud, not Maharaj Ambarish. And he was proud of his position as a great yogi with so much mystic power because of his great austerity and also from his learning. So Durvasa Muni not only verbally offended Maharaj Ambarish, even he took the utmost step of killing Maharaj Ambarish by creating that demon, fiery demon, which was very, very offensive. Even verbally offending a devotee is offensive, but he was trying to kill Maharaj Ambarish. So, though Durvasa Muni was trying to kill him for his small discrepancy in his behavior, though it was not actually discrepancy, but still he wanted to kill him, but Maharaj Ambarish was not afraid of his life. When the fiery demon came, Maharaj Ambarish was standing, wherever he was standing, he stood there. He did not even move a step backward, just to protect his life, because he was not afraid of his life. But when Sudarshan Chakra killed that fiery demon and followed Durvasa Muni to kill him, Durvasa Muni was very afraid of Sudarshan Chakra. And his mystic power could not protect him from the attack of Sudarshan Chakra. And Durvasa Muni fled from that place out of fear of his life. And Sudarshan Chakra was pursuing Durvasa Muni all over the universe, wherever he went. He went to Brahma, he went to Shiva for protection, and no one could give him protection. And ultimately he went to Lord Vishnu. He thought, and he was also advised by Brahma and Shiva, that Vishnu could only protect him from the attack of Sudarshan Chakra, because Sudarshan was the weapon of Lord Vishnu. But when he approached Lord Vishnu also expressed his inability to protect Durvasa Muni. And Lord Vishnu said he was not independent, because the devotees of the Lord had already covered his heart. That's why he was completely dependent on his devotees. So unless the devotee who has been offended by Durvasa Muni, unless that devotee forgives Durvasa Muni, Lord Vishnu even could not forgive him. So Durvasa Muni was very much surprised to hear this, that Lord Vishnu is the supreme person. He is not under anyone, but everyone is under him, even Lord Brahma and Shiva. But still, the Lord is telling he is under the control of his devotees. And then, at last, the Lord advised Durvasa Muni to go to Maharaj Ambarish and beg forgiveness from him in the previous verse. The Lord has already advised him that if you want to be protected from Sudarshan Chakra, then you have to go to the person whom you have offended and beg forgiveness from him. If he forgives you, then you will be protected from Sudarshan disk. But still, Durvasa Muni, he was still very proud of his learning and austerity. Though he was chased by Sudarshan Chakra and he was actually going here and there to get shelter for his life, but still his pride had not gone away. He was not very humble. And when the Supreme Lord Vishnu advised Durvasa Muni to go to Maharaj Ambarish and beg forgiveness from him, then Durvasa Muni was thinking in his mind that how is it I am a Brahmin and I have so much mystic power because of my austerity, and I am such a learned personality, and the Supreme Lord is instructing me to go to a person who is a Kshatriya. So his pride was there. And the Supreme Lord understood this, that Durvasa Muni's pride is stopping him to go and beg forgiveness from Maharaj Ambarish. That's why the Supreme Lord is telling this verse to Durvasa Muni. So he's telling, Tapo Vidya Chavi Pranam Nisraya Sakare Ube. So the Supreme Lord is telling to Durvasa Muni that, my dear Brahmana, it is natural for a Brahmin to have knowledge and austerity. This is actually the strength of a Brahmin, austerity and knowledge. Though in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes different qualities of a Brahmin, samo dama tapa saucha kshanti arjamayevacha jnana vijnana astikyam brahma karma sabhavaja. A Brahman is supposed to be very peaceful. A Brahman cannot become angry. These are the qualities of the Brahmin. And the Brahmin should also control his senses, dhamma, self-control. And a Brahman also perform austerity, tapa, tapasya, saucha, cleanliness. A Brahman has to remain clean externally by taking bath and internally by thinking about the Supreme Lord and chanting his holy name. And Brahma must be very tolerant. He cannot be intolerant in all circumstances. And a Brahman must be very honest, and he must be very learned, and he should have wisdom, means practical application of knowledge, vijnan. And he must be a believer of the Supreme Lord, astikya. Nowadays we find so many so-called Brahmins, even they don't believe in the Supreme Lord. What to speak of having other qualities of a Brahmin? So, this austerity and knowledge, this is actually the wealth of a Brahmin. And the Brahmins are actually considered the head of the society. They worship the Supreme Lord, they study the scriptures which has been given by the Supreme Lord for the benefit of mankind. They practice the instruction of the scriptures themselves, and they instruct the instruction of the scriptures to the society in general. In that way, they actually lead the society through their austerity and knowledge. And when a society is bereft of such Brahmins, then the society will be full of mlechas and javanas. Because there will be no head in the society, and people will do whatever they like. So here the Supreme Lord is telling Durvasa Muni that Nishraya Sakara, this tapo and vidya, austerity and learning, which is the wealth of a Brahmin, can become very beneficial to the person himself and also very beneficial to the society in general. But when teheva durvinitasya, but the same austerity and knowledge, if it is acquired by a person who is durvinita, means who is not vinita, very humble, that means very proud, proud of his austerity and knowledge. Generally, this thing brings pride in one's heart. When someone is very austere or very knowledgeable, that can also bring pride in his heart. So, the Supreme Lord is telling that durvinitasya, that means when a person is very proud of his knowledge and austerity, then these two things, which is just like ornaments of a Brahmin, which actually glorifies a Brahmin because of his knowledge and austerity, a Brahmin is glorified. But the same knowledge and same austerity, if it is acquired by a person who is very proud of his position, of having austerity and knowledge, then that can become very dangerous, not only for that person himself, even that can be also dangerous for the society itself. If such persons, those who are very proud, they acquire knowledge and austerity, they can be very dangerous for themselves and for the society. As we see in case of Maharaj Parikshit, he was cursed by a Brahmin boy, Sringi. And this Brahmin boy, he had power, Brahminical power. In those days, Brahmins, they had Brahminical power because they were performing austerity, they had knowledge, and they were controlling their senses, and they were worshipping the Supreme Lord. So they had power and they were speaking truth. The Brahmins are supposed to speak truth. They would never lie. That's why in those days, when the Brahmins would say something to someone, whether it is a blessing or a curse, so that will become true, because they are always truthful. So whatever they say, that becomes true. But nowadays, the Brahmins, they don't have that power. They are not speaking truth. They don't have austerity and knowledge. That's why if they curse someone, it does not act on someone, because they are not truthful. And if a Brahmin blesses someone, but that blessing will also not act, because they are not truthful and not worshipper of Lord Vishnu. That's why we see Sringi, though he was a Brahmin boy, but because he became agitated, hearing that the emperor had garlanded a dead snake on the neck of his father, who was meditating in his ashram. When Sringi heard this, he became very angry. And immediately he took the water from the river and chanted a mantra to curse Maharaj Parikshit to die by snake bite in the seventh day. And that was Prabhupada states in the purport, that was actually the misuse of Brahminical power. When Sringi's father heard that the emperor had garlanded with a dead snake, he himself was not angry. But his son became angry and cursed Maharaj Parikshit. So Samyakya Muni was very sorry for his son, that he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. Because when the emperor is cursed, who is protecting the whole world, protecting the citizens, so if he is cursed and he is dead, then who is going to protect the citizens? So that was actually was not desirable. For such small mistake, a big curse was given by Sringi. Heavy curse. So that was misuse of Brahminical power. When Brahmins, they become angry, though they were not supposed to become angry, but they become angry, then they misuse their power and curse someone. And in that way they lose actually their power. When someone will curse someone, he will lose his power. So here Lord Vishnu is telling Durvasa Muni that when someone is not very humble, he is very proud of his position, then acquiring knowledge, or his knowledge and austerity, becomes very dangerous for the person himself and for the society. That means Lord Vishnu is indirectly telling Durvasa Muni that he was not very humble. Durvinitas. He was very proud of his position. That's why he has created this situation. He has created this dangerous situation for himself and for others. So indirectly, by generalizing this thing, Lord Vishnu actually is hinting towards Durvasa Muni that how he was proud of his position. He was not very humble. And when someone actually acquires these qualities of great austerity and learning, then he is supposed to become humble. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport, that even if a snake jewel is very valuable, and sometimes some serpents, they possess some jewels on their hood. So though the jewel is very valuable, but when it is possessed by a serpent, the serpent can still become very dangerous. We cannot think that, oh, this serpent has possessed this nice jewel, so let me go to him, go to that serpent and get that jewel. The serpent can be dangerous and can bite anyone. So even if the jewel is there, that means even if the good qualities are there, but if the person is not humble, then he can misutilize those good qualities. And it has been stated also that when a tree is full of fruits, then what happens to the tree? The branches of the tree, they bend down. Namanti phalina vriksha. The trees with full of fruits, they always bend down. They don't think, oh, now I have got so many nice fruits, so many people would come and take my fruits and eat, enjoy, become happy. The tree does not become very proud and stand putting his head higher. When the tree is full of fruits, then he bends down. Means the tree shows humility. After acquiring so many fruits for the benefit of others, the tree does not eat the fruit itself. The tree bears fruits for the benefit of others. So acquiring these qualities is actually meant to benefit others. That's why those who are sadhus are the devotees of the Lord. When they acquire these good qualities of learning, austerity, sense control, tolerance, truthfulness, honesty, and practicing the knowledge of the scriptures, believing in the Supreme Lord. So all these qualities, when they acquire, then the devotees generally they become very humble. They don't become very proud of their possession. And when they become very humble, then only they can please the Supreme Lord. They can chant the holy name of the Lord, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinanda Pisani Chayana, Tarora Pisahishuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So if you want to chant the holy name of the Lord, then we have to become very humble. We have to become very tolerant. We have to always be ready to give respect to others. It is necessary, and a humble person can do this. If someone is very proud, he would hesitate to offer someone respect, and he would always want respect from others, and he would not become very tolerant, he would not become very humble. So this is actually a great quality in a devotee or a sadhu, to become very humble, even after acquiring so many great qualities. So Durvasa Muni he is not very humble, he is very proud, that's why he wanted to kill Maharaj Ambarish. And namante gunina janaha, that actually who is a guni means who is the possessor of so many good qualities, they always remain humble. Gunina jana. Namanti phalina vriksha, namanti gunina jana. So, the persons who have acquired these good qualities, they are always humble in their behavior. So, Durvasa Muni, because he was not humble, that's why he dared to offend Maharaj Ambarish. Because of his pride, he was going to utilize his power, mystic power, to kill Maharaj Ambarish. And in that way, he was actually exhibiting his power, mystic power, to the whole world. But Lord Vishnu, he did not appreciate this. The attitude of Durvasa Muni, who was thinking himself a great yogi and thinking Maharaj Ambarish as a kshatriya, ordinary kshatriya. That's why the Lord is speaking this verse to make Durvasa very humble. So he would go in a humble mood to Maharaj Ambarish and beg forgiveness from him. If someone is not very humble with pride in heart, because Lord Vishnu told him, okay, Lord Vishnu is telling, let me go to Maharaj Ambarish and just beg forgiveness. But the pride would be there. Sometimes it happens when we offend someone, we don't want to beg forgiveness, but out of compulsion, or our seniors are telling, no, no, you have done a mistake, you have to beg forgiveness. But our heart is not accepting. But seniors are telling, so we go and we beg forgiveness, but externally, not internally. So that forgiveness, begging forgiveness, has no value. Unless we ourselves become humble within our heart, understanding one's own mistake. So Lord Vishnu is actually pointing out to Durvasa Muni that how a big blunder he has committed by becoming proud of his position of learning and austerity. And it has proved dangerous for himself, for Durvasa Muni and for others. So when Lord tells this, he wants to actually take away the pride in Durvasa's heart, make him humble. So in a humble attitude, he would go to Maharaj Ambarish and beg forgiveness. And certainly Maharaj Ambarish would forgive him. Hare Krishna. So any comments or questions?
What did he do?
Whatever the person gave,
request was that we invite you. And this is the validation that we wanted to hear Bhagavatam personalities for benefit of the people. So this is the comment.
Okay, so you have a comment, not a question. Okay. Okay.
Right. We are standing on community. So, like, I'm very happy to move even the 5 days of the evening. Same practical, like the same normal sadhaka. How should we react when the things come like that? Something like that, now or something. If we definitely like sadhaka, we will not act like a nation. But in that case, what consciousness should be at that time?
This material world is full of dangers. Padam padam yad vipadam. In every step there is danger. And how can we actually cross over this material ocean which is full of dangers? Samasrita jay padapallava plavam mahat padam punya jaso murare. We have to take shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. And by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we can very easily cross all types of danger in this material world, just like cow's hoofprint. Water in the hoofprint, cow's hoofprint, or calf's hoofprint. That means that if we take shelter of Krishna and depend on Him in all circumstances, then that danger will be very small, which would look like very big, difficult to cross over. It would be very small, like water contained in calf's hoofprint. You can very easily cross over. See, the greatest danger you can cross over, it can become very little by Krishna's mercy. And Krishna can do that. He is Yogeshwar. If Krishna wants to do something, He can do impossible possible. And we cannot even conceive how this thing happened. That's why in every circumstances, we have to be fully dependent on Krishna and on His mercy.
He was also dependent on Krishna, but he didn't move at all. Fearless.
Yes.
But in our case, what action would you have dependent on
humanity? If you can become fearless in that situation, that means you are dependent on Krishna. Because when someone is dependent on Krishna, he becomes fearless. In the midst of all kinds of dangers, like Prahlad Maharaj, you see, he is the greatest example. His life was in danger. He was attacked from all sides by the followers of Hiranyakashipu. But he was not disturbed. And he was just meditating on the Supreme Lord. Because he had full faith that Krishna would protect him. That's why he was not afraid. And when we become afraid, because when we have no full faith in Krishna. Bhaya ditya avinivesh. The fear comes when we think of something else other than Krishna. Mataji, okay, someone can give the mic.
Sometimes we find the personalities like, describing the first snakes with that for anyone else? Or, do we interfere and we try to prevent it? Because usually what I've seen happen is, people who can recognize, there are some people who can recognize that, there are most people who cannot, and it affects them very strongly, because also maybe they can see a few things, but then they don't want to open their mouth. And then after you see a big, tremendous result for the community. So I just wanted to know what's better. Even to Krishna to take care of our effects when nobody else is.
See, pride is very detrimental to devotional service. And even if someone has many good qualities, but if he is very proud, then he will face dangers in devotional service. And Krishna actually does not want his devotees to be very proud. So when, like, some senior devotees who can actually guide or even counsel, you can say, that devotee, if you see someone, he has many good qualities, but still he is very proud. General devotees cannot counsel him. But devotees who are superior to that devotee, or even equals who can counsel him, if they can, it is okay. But if it is not, then Krishna has to take care of. And when Krishna will take care of, maybe that can be some heavy downfall or something may happen, and in that downfall state the devotee may start realizing that how proud he was and how he was misutilizing his good qualities. So this happens. If someone is very proud, then naturally he offends others. He misutilizes his good qualities and he doesn't listen to anyone. Then he falls down from his position. Krishna makes the arrangement. He falls down from his position and then his pride is gone. When he falls down from his position, then he becomes humble. Then he starts realizing what mistake, what blunder he did. And then becomes very careful again not to do that. So Krishna in that way takes care of his devotees. Yeah.
Is this a plan of Lord to reveal the good qualities of his bhakta, since they do not reveal themselves and they hide by staying away from all these material positions? Is his plan to reveal his bhakta by creating such a scene so that we...
Which scene you are referring to?
By sending Durvasa.
Okay.
And to create a situation like that so that it will reveal how a bhakta will act. Is there such a secret story behind it?
This is all actually the Lord is exhibiting in this episode, that how his devotees are glorious and how the Lord is also servant of his devotees, controlled by his devotees. And even if this Durvasa Muni, who was a great yogi, had great mystic powers, but still because of his pride, how he offended. And the Lord is not appreciating Durvasa's pride in him. So he is telling this verse. Actually he is pointing out Durvasa's pride. Though he has good qualities, the Lord is not appreciating. Because of this pride he made a big blunder by offending Maharaj Ambarish. So the whole episode is very exemplary, that how devotees are protected by the Supreme Lord, how devotees are very humble. Even Maharaj Ambarish, though Sudarshan Chakra was protecting him, he was never proud of his position. He was completely dependent on Krishna. But Durvasa Muni, he just got some learning and austerity, he became very proud. Because he was not a devotee. That's why Krishna is actually exhibiting the supremacy of devotees. And how he is even under the control of his devotees. So this is actually a great teaching to everyone, to devotees and to others also, non-devotees. Hare Krishna. Jaya Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jaya Srila Prabhupada Maharaj ki Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki Nitai Gaura Premanande ki.